Okay. We like to record these because we put them on our website, and then we also have post-session notes that everyone will get. And we have about 370 subscribers that come on and off the call and also get our notes. So we'll get started. We always like to tell everyone we're not EPA. We have a cooperative agreement with EPA. So we kind of speak informally, not EPA policy by any means, but we've been working with grantees and prospective grantees since the program started. So we're pretty familiar with the programs. But what we really like to do and what we're doing in this cycle is we like to hear from our best grantees. We have some incredible grantees out there, and one of them we'll be talking to today that have lots of experience. And before we get started, though, we always have news from Washington. And Glo, any news?
No, nothing from Washington, just from us. Just a reminder that the grantee meeting's coming up soon, August 8th, 17th, and 18th. The hotel deadline is 2 weeks from yesterday. So if you haven't, if you intend to attend this year's meeting, be sure to send your registration in so that you can make your hotel reservation soon. It's much easier to cancel your room than it is to try to get one after the deadline has passed. We still do have some rooms left over that are still open in our reserved block. Mike and I have been working on the agenda, and this year, again, we're going to be having concurrent sessions. So if possible, a lot of grantees I know send more than one person so that they can take better advantage of those concurrent sessions. So even if you have registered by yourself and your coworker is able to attend with you, please send them in, send their registration in, and get them a room so that they can attend too. Works out good that way. That's it for me, Mike.
Okay. All grantees and all regional people and headquarters people, and in addition, prospective grantees and PLC members are invited to come. If you're thinking of submitting a grant and you're not a grantee now, by all means come. All you have to do is be able to get there. And we have some informal meals. There's one or two meals you'll have to get on your own, but we pay hotel and there's no conference fees. And it's a great time to talk to your, hopefully, who will be your regional coordinator. And we break out into groups and we have our grantees participate on, it's informal, talking about various topics, and Glo will be sending out invites to our grantees to talk to specific topics. Nothing here is real formal. It's more open discussion than networking. So, Glo, do you want to give them your email address in case someone may want to get an application?
Yeah, my email is ghanne@eicc.edu. So if you want to register, just send me your contact information. That's really all I need. Just put it in an email and send it my way. Or if you have any questions, be sure to send me that too.
Great. We have, this seems to be webinar season. Tuesday we had a webinar. We didn't, but the EPA sponsored a webinar on EJ Screen, which we'll be talking about in our PLC. This is an incredibly valuable tool. We'll probably also be talking about it at the All Grantee meeting, but it talks about environmental justice, and the demographics and the screening is incredible on this EPA tool. It uses census data. It uses EPA data, air data, combines it all into one great big tool. It's all public information, but it gives you a chance to zero in on your community down to the block, or four block areas. There's 215,000 blocks in the United States, and it tells you where the brownfields are, and it tells you the demographics. It's an awesome tool for doing your assessments, community assessments, even your labor market assessments, and it's something we'll be talking about in the future. It's called EJ Screen. July 20th is a special date. These will all be in the notes, Groundworks Providence, as a matter of fact, is having a equitable development webinar from 1:30 to 3:30 on the 20th. In fact, we rescheduled. We had this break. We're starting a new cycle of 10 PLCs. This is the first one, and we decided to do it the 13th so that we'll jump over next Wednesday. And this is going to be a great webinar on equitable development. And we'll have those in the notes, and perhaps Amelia will even talk about that too. On July 26th, there's going to be also another webinar. This will be on leveraging resources for brownfields revitalization. And this is one of a series of three webinars that is being sponsored. This one will concentrate mostly on more on the other side of the shop, the cleanup revolving loan funds. They're going to feature Dubuque, Iowa, and it's going to be like a case study. But that's something that you may want to tune into too. And I'll put in the notes how to register for those. They're webinars. You could turn them on and see what's going on. They're also going to have another webinar in October and one in December. So all those things are happening in addition to all the things you're doing. I'm sure many of you are starting your graduation ceremonies or maybe already have had them. Many of the programs started in March and just about ready to start placing some of their people. So that's basically the news in Washington and with HMTRI. Today,
I wonder if maybe you want to send the PowerPoint from the EJ screen notes.
Well, I would. What I'll do is put the link in the notes because it's a very large file. It's about 30 megs. So I'll do that. In addition, what I want to do, though, is we had a question on the listserv today, which I'll also put in the notes. Someone was interested in a RFP for trainers, and the city of Cincinnati was happy to respond very quickly within a day of the RFP that they use, and it's a bid form. We've had a lot of requests for this over the years. If you're thinking of contracting out for your trainer, which many of the grantees do, we have to send out RFPs, and we've had lots of requests for kind of guidelines of what people do. And City of Cincinnati was happy to send us not only a bid form, but the request for proposals and everything they use for contracting out their series of courses. So I'm going to also put that in as an attachment to the post-session notes. So if you see an attachment, that will be that RFP from Cincinnati and what they use. You certainly couldn't use that verbatim, but it'll give you an idea of what they're using. You may want to compare it to what you're using, or if you haven't gone down that path yet, you may want to look at it more carefully. Well, today we're going to talk about really one of our outstanding grantees. They've been here for a long time, and they get better every year. I'm really impressed by Groundworks. It's a national organization, and again, I'll let Amelia talk about this in more detail, but this is an organization it's a national organization that works locally. It's a network of local organizations that devotes its efforts to environmental education and environmental improving in the environment in marginalized communities. It's exactly what we're trying to do. They're working in communities across the country. I believe there's about 25 Groundwork USA's Groundwork programs, mostly in the Northeast, but I'm going to put in the notes the website for Groundworks USA. Each of the Groundwork have their own websites, which are all excellent, by the way, and certainly would recommend you visit Providence and also Lawrence, who are associated with our program. But they have about 25 of them, and they're all working in local communities. I suppose that I get the feeling it's like a franchise, like something like the Goodwill model. They're working in their local communities, each of them doing their own programs. Are somewhat autonomous, but they all have the same basic goals: environment, equity, civil engagement. It's a wonderful organization, and it's something that you may want to think about, if you haven't set up your developed your partnerships, we've been talking about partnerships for quite a few of the last presentations in the PLC. And we've talked about aligning with a partner, perhaps a larger or stronger partner that may have some synergistic effects to the environmental workforce program. You may want to look and see where your groundworks are located. We do have a couple of them in this program that have been very successful. And it's something that if you're considering looking at partners, and we've had this question also, we were thinking of starting a program and we're trying to figure out a good partner to partner with. And you may want to see where your, if and where local groundworks might be. Groundwork Providence in particular actually started in 2002. Goes way back. They had a grant from EPA in 2002 and 4. But then there was a lapse, and maybe Amelia could talk about that. But they didn't get EPA funds until, again, in 2010 under the new org. They reorganized under groundworkprovidence.org. They were a slightly different organization before that, and they have recompeted in 2012 and 2015. So they've been around environmental workforce for quite a while. They're very experienced. And again, I'm going to put their websites in. I think it's one of the more impressive websites, well laid out, simple. In fact, the application forms are right on the website. And I would suggest if you have a chance, when you get these websites, just scan through them and see how they do theirs. So with that, Amelia, I'm going to turn it over to you to tell us a little bit of background about your program and what you do and how you recruit and go from there.
Sure. Thanks so much. I appreciate that really nice introduction. So my name is Amelia Rose. I'm the executive director of Groundwork Providence, and I've been the director for just 2 years now. So I can't take credit for all the great previous work of that other executive directors and job training directors have done with this program, but I was happy to inherit a strong program and see about how to make it my own and change it according to kind of new updated according to new realities. So I will start. Mike sent me a little outline of questions. I'm using that to guide my talk, and I'll just start. I'll talk about Groundwork Providence. What Mike said is exactly right. So we are an affiliate of Groundwork USA. There are about 20. The number always kind of changes. I think it's around 22 affiliates around the country now, doing a lot of similar work. We are all independent. I think Groundwork Providence has stood out among the Groundwork affiliates for our job because we've been successful in getting the EPA job training grants. And other groundworks are definitely trying and applying, and we hope we wish them well and hope that they can also develop job training programs. It's been a cornerstone of our organization for many years, as Mike referred to, with our first grant happening back in 2002. And Groundwork Providence actually developed out of another organization called Keep Providence Beautiful, which started in 1983. So the organization has had a really long history in Providence since 1983, and then with the Groundwork Network more recently, starting in the late 90s and 2000s. And so our job training program, we connect it with a lot of our other programs as well. We do environmental education. We have a youth employment program for high school students during the summertime called the Green Team. And then our job training program really focuses on adults. Our median age of the folks that we serve in the job training program is usually around 30 years old, so it's a little bit older cohort than even some other job training programs that exist in Providence, because there are quite a few other ones around. So the job training program is a core component, and then we also have a fee-for-service landscaping program called Ground Core, which started in 2010. And this actually, honestly, was a development out of our job training program because we recognize the challenge. I'm sure any of you who have done, tried to do job placement or are doing job placement recognize that it's a challenge often to place people in full-time employment after coming out of a job training program. And that was definitely a thing that was affecting Groundwork, but also other job training programs in our city and state. And so we started Ground Core as a way of employing people that come out of our job training program. And especially this year and last year, it's been really, really successful. We only have 6 people on our crew, our Ground Core crew, but we're hoping to double that within the next year. We have a really, really strong crew right now. We have a director of field operations that runs our crew, and we've gotten a lot of really strong contracts, and we have a lot of relationships with a number of partners that hire us to do sustainable landscaping work, to do to build playgrounds and natural play features for kids, to build community gardens, to do green infrastructure and stormwater management projects. And I'll talk a little bit more about all that later on because that really fits into our job training program as well in terms of the hands-on component of what we do in our training program. And then I guess the other thing to mention about Groundwork is we also have different community sites that we either have developed ourselves and own or manage. So we have an urban farm and greenhouse that we manage. We have a large community garden that we built through our job training program and that we manage currently. And we also have a 4,500 square foot tree nursery that's on a former brownfield site as part of a larger development in the West End neighborhood of Providence that also figures into our programming and our job training program as well. So I think that the landscaping and green infrastructure components of our program have been the strongest so far. In terms of our labor market assessment and how we do recruitment and screening and placement, this is always an interesting little challenge. The labor market in Rhode Island it's always been a challenge because we have had pretty high unemployment across the state for many years and one of the highest rates of unemployment in the country. And the environmental services sector, which is what our job training program provides the training in HAZLOPR, in OSHA certifications. We do OSHA 10 and OSHA 40. We also do an asbestos supervisor certification. We do a lead RRP, the renovator remodeler painter certification. We do an underground storage tank operator certification. And we also have a basic introductory level certificate in wastewater treatment and in indoor air quality and vapor intrusion. So those are the main curriculum components other than our landscaping and sustainable green infrastructure stuff that doesn't have any kind of certification attached to it, but is still part of our training program. So in terms of the labor market assessment, what we hear from environmental consultants that advise us on our program, as well as the people who work in the field, is that asbestos is a really big place where people can get hired in asbestos abatement. And over the past 2 years, at least, that I have worked with Groundwork and run the job training program, no one has wanted to go into asbestos work from our training program. And I don't know if it's, there's probably a number of reasons for that, but that's been a challenge. So we have found the most ease in placing people with our own Ground Core landscaping and green infrastructure programs or employment programs, and also with temporary to permanent staffing agencies that you know, if the like resource options is here, they're in New England, and there's others that are more nationwide, but resource options has been the closest one that we've worked with that do like the emergency cleanup, emergency response, and other kinds of environmental services as well. So those have been sort of the most successful things that we places that we place people, as well as just general construction and contracting. Sometimes the people who come into our training program have like an uncle or a friend or, you know, a cousin or someone who owns a contracting business or some kind of construction or painting or something like that, and they need certifications, and then they get our certifications, and then they go work for their family member. That often happens with our population. And also we've been, one thing that we are working on more is connecting better with the laborers union in Rhode Island, which is a little bit of a difficulty. They have, there's another successful job training program in Providence called Building Futures that already has a really strong relationship with all the unions and trades. And so it's a little difficult for us to get in there and get in on that that pipeline. So, but you know, we're trying, and hopefully that will be something that kind of we're working on over the next few years. Another place that people have been hired from our job training program is in weatherization and energy efficiency. We, in 2008, we had our job training program really focused on weatherization and energy efficiency. But that was because of a particular staff person who was very interested in that issue and in doing that kind of training. And so that did not, it's not currently part of our curriculum in a strong way that I'm hoping to bring back, because that's another area of Rhode Island's economy that seems to be growing, and that there will be some, you know, more opportunities for job creation in that sector as the years go by. So looking to strengthen that part of our curriculum as well. In terms of recruitment, we recruit from a variety of sources. We, from the public housing agencies, from a number of partner community organizations who do reentry programs. We are, you know, the population that we work with is all people who face barriers to employment, particularly people who have some kind of conviction record. So we get a lot of referrals from parole officers, from probation officers. We get a lot of referrals.
Kathleen Curry.
Thanks for joining us. And we get a lot of other referrals from the public housing agencies. And one new partnership that we've established recently is actually in a neighboring city to Providence in Pawtucket and Central Falls. There are two cities that are north of Providence. And we are working with the Community Development Corporation in those cities that serve both of those cities to do a specific job training program just for their residents. And so that's been, we're going to be testing it out this fall, so I'll let you know how successful it is. But I'm looking forward to it because it's nice to work with a partner who has a ready-made population that is in a lot of need of jobs. And we'll be doing lots of different projects, garden build projects, green infrastructure and stormwater management projects on their properties. So it offers a lot of opportunities for doing hands-on training, and also it's a little bit easier to do the recruitment. We also get a lot of people just by word of mouth or by, you know, finding our flyers or having other referrals from like the Network Rhode Island, which is like the employment resource center in Providence, and things like that. But definitely the partnerships with community organizations is the number one way that we recruit people. The way we screen folks is we have an application process. I'm guessing that the one that Mike saw on our website is an old one, so I'll have to update that so that everybody can be impressed by how put together we are. But we have an paper application and an online application that we have folks fill out, and then we do in-person interviews. And typically, you know, that was one big takeaway that I went to the grantee meeting for the first time last August, and heard from people really loud and clear that that screening is really important to make sure that you're choosing folks who are going to be really successful coming out of your training program. And right now we haven't been able to really effectively screen people out of our program just because of recruitment challenges, kind of building our program back up. But basically we take folks who apply, and they kind of screen themselves out in a lot of ways. So if they don't show up on time, or if they can't make it for a whole week, or a lot of times the hands-on components of the projects that we do, the training that we do, kind of weeds people out. And then you just know, pretty clearly who wants to be in the program, who doesn't, and who's going to like take the information that they get and really use it in a proactive way. And then I talked a little bit about placement already with trying to place folks with our, we hire people. We usually hire anywhere from 1 to 3 people per training session. We have a number, with our own ground core crew, and then we can place people with other community organizations that do similar but different types of work. We have relationships with the Wenasketucket River Watershed Council that has a river rangers program that they hire adults to do stewardship along their greenway and along the river. The Providence Housing Authority hires people for seasonal landscaping work as well. And then also with the staffing agencies has been the best place for folks to go to for at least temporary work, and hopefully it's difficult because a lot of the environmental services, at least I don't know if it's nationwide, I'm guessing it is nationwide, but at least in Rhode Island it feels like it is temporary work. It's construction is sort of similar to construction, and that schedule of working for a few weeks and then not working for a few weeks. That is something for me to think about more, is to find the employers who could provide that more permanent work for our graduates. Let me see. So I talked already about the curriculum and the certifications that we offer. One thing I'll add to that, definitely the green infrastructure has become, and stormwater management and wastewater treatment has become very hot topics in Rhode Island. We are the ocean state, and I'm sure it's a hot topic among other states as well and other regions that are dealing with stormwater pollution and flooding and all climate changes, also impacts of climate change. And it's a really hot topic right now in Rhode Island. And so we are taking advantage of that and working very closely with our regulatory agencies, with other partners. There's a Rhode Island Green Infrastructure Coalition that Groundwork Providence is very involved in to connect the workforce development opportunities and needs with our regulatory agencies are really cracking down and enforcing the Clean Water Act and getting people to do what they have to do around managing stormwater and keeping it on site. And so we see this sector, opening up in Rhode Island, and we're really excited about it because it can offer so many great benefits to the community, not just in terms of jobs, but other benefits of adding green space to urban areas and all of that. And so we are very excited to be, Groundwork Providence being one of, if not the only, workforce development organization in Rhode Island that's really looking at green infrastructure and preparing people for that and giving people hands-on experience doing green infrastructure so that as money does come down from regulatory agencies or from the state or from city agencies, that we're ready and prepared to take on those opportunities. And right now, we work with the coalition to apply for grants and get all sorts of funding whatever way we can so that we can do demonstration projects and use our job training program as well as our landscaping service to do green infrastructure projects as models of what it would look like in our urban communities. and also how it can create jobs. So that's all that. And I'm trying to look, I don't know how much time I have left, but I'll just kind of wrap up with one of the sections that Mike asked me to talk about is just giving any advice to other applicants who may not have been successful this cycle but are planning to apply again. And what Mike said earlier in terms of connecting with key partners, that is really, I think, the thing that really helped Groundwork or has helped Groundwork Providence be successful in getting these grants is having those key partners, the places that we can recruit from. So being partners with the public housing agencies, with all the, the probation officers, with the other reentry programs and social service agencies that can send people our way. But then also the partners who can provide you with those experiential hands-on learning opportunities for your training participants. So community development corporations, planning departments, municipalities that have, especially that receive brownfield cleanup grants or assessment grants, and you can connect around brownfield remediation. We have a number of projects in Providence and in Pawtucket and Central Falls that we bring our job training participants to see, actual contractors out there doing remediation work. Usually it's pretty far along by the time we're out there or allowed to go out there. Being able to really meet them, see the names of the companies that hire people to do environmental services and to do that are hired to do these types of services. So, just printing out from like Clean Harbor's website or from a number of other remediation companies' websites, current job opportunities, that's usually the first thing that we do in our job training program the first or second day, is just to show, like, actually these are real jobs. they do exist, and they have all these certifications that you're getting in our program, our requirements for this position. And so making sure that, because these are usually jobs that people have never thought about or considered for the folks that come into our program. And so making them real is really important from the beginning. And I think that's pretty much it.
You know, Amelia, you really talked about some really interesting and important organizations. Many of our grantees have talked about working with the community development corporations, also public housing, both for recruitment and for placement. They seem to be a mm-hmm. good source of employment. And of course, the municipalities. You didn't mention so much as deconstruction, but that's some of the bigger communities also have that big component of deconstruction. That you're in a tough community. We talk about, and at the All Grantee meeting, we talk about screening and tryouts, and that's easy to say when your target area is very large. As you get smaller, and you tend to be more on that mid-sized to smaller target community, it's nice to say you have tryouts and all these screening methods, but it's much more difficult to do because your target area is small. And so you have this large disparity between the incoming applicants and getting your classes together. So I have to give you credit for trying to work with that. It is a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
You didn't mention WIBS. Do you work at all with the WIOLA or WIB? Do they provide you with any services at all?
It's interesting because we need to form a better relationship with the Workforce Investment Board. We have more of a relationship actually with their youth component. So they have a youth employment program and a youth employment services that we connect with more for our Green Team summer employment program for high school students. And that's been, a good relationship. But for adults, it's been much more difficult. And I don't know exactly why. I think part of it is that when Rhode Island is thinking about its labor market, when it looks at trends and all this stuff, it really doesn't consider environmental services to be an important trend in the state, and I feel like the unless we can make that case.
Well, you're right. You know, I talked to one of the directors at the Workforce Investment Association, and he said, Mike, to be honest, we've got rocks and stars. We've got some WIBs out there who are really proactive and really good, and we've got some out there that are deadbeats, and they don't want to work with the grantees.
You didn't hear that from me.
But that is an issue with all of our grantees. Some of them come out and say, oh, we're doing these city of Tacoma, Oregon tradesmen. The one after the other will say, oh, they're providing people, they're screening, they're placing, they're providing us a leveraged remedial services. They're doing all kinds of things. And then you get into a state where you just don't have any of those opportunities are being offered to you. And that's, again, something you have to wrestle with.
Yeah. But we're going to make it work.
There you go. Anyone have some questions?
This is Jeffrey Richardson. I'm in Wilmington, Delaware. Have you done anything, or maybe just how we might approach some of this? We do work in the solar arena. We are working with the Community Development Corporation and looking at ways that we might look at brownfields for solar, and how might that work? I'm understanding that some of the energy efficiency funds, it can be used in that way too, after the energy efficiency training phase, that you can also do something in renewable energy. Is that true, and how might that work?
Well, and maybe other folks want to respond to that too, but in at least Rhode Island, there is a requirement that people who, or it may not actually be a requirement, I think they changed the law, but actually the industry itself requires every person to be an electrician, like a licensed electrician, if they're going to be installing solar panels. There was a time where Rhode Island was trying to kind of disconnect the electrician who had to, like, be there to plug the thing in or like do the technical stuff, and then the other people on the site who could be non-electricians. But I think that the industry itself, the solar, as far as I know, with solar panel installers, there's a couple of startup companies that are working in Rhode Island. They really just want to have everybody to be an electrician, a licensed electrician on site, so they don't have to have a huge, you know, unnecessary workforce, basically. So that is a barrier for our participants.
We'll put in the notes, and if you're not getting notes, you just email your contact information to me at msenew@aol.com. So that's msenew@aol.com. I'll put in the notes ECA's contact information, Energy Coordinating Agency. We had them on a couple of sessions ago, and they basically came up from the energy, solar, renewable energy, that exact environment that you're talking about, and they developed an environmental workforce development program that they kind of attached onto their energy program. So they basically have done what you want to do. And you can, all of our grantees, and I'm going to ask Amelia if this is okay with her, we always ask them, is it okay if people contact you, and I could put your contact information in there, and they're very happy to talk to you about their program. Is that okay, Amelia, if I put?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, on that note, on the last person's question, I just received a document about a competition on Partnership for Resilient Community request for proposals that are due Friday, July 29th. And I'll forward this to you so that those on the call can receive this from you.
Okay. If you do that today.
Providence, mm-hmm. Rhode Island is one of the communities listed. And
we are
others,
all
I don't
over
know
that.
What the, okay, I figured you are all over it, but the others may not be. So others on the call, like the last person that asked about this, in one of the areas is projects that seek to increase energy efficiency and or the deployment of renewable energy solutions in low-income communities. They're looking for, this is grants up to $250,000 to 2 to 3 CBOs that are working on the ground in these cities So I'll forward that to you for distribution.
That'd be great.
Great.
We'll,
and that's out of which agency?
Well, I just got it through EPA, but I'm looking to see.
It's called the Institute for Sustainable Communities.
Yeah, it's a separate group, right? Institute of Sustainable Communities. And is it msnew@aol.com? That's
no,
right, Mike?
It's msenew.
Missed the letter.
Okay. And it's AOL.
Okay. I'm forwarding it to you now.
Okay, that'd be great. And I'll put those in the notes, which I'll send. I usually send them out Friday morning. We'll work on them.
I'm muting now. Thanks.
But those are great organizations to get in touch with. And all grantees are always looking for money wherever they could find it. It's all about leveraging and trying to get grants that are synergistic. They don't have to be directly in your area specifically of environmental workforce, but you can use your organization and add these to the environmental workforce. So often people will say, well, it doesn't have to do with directly with our environmental workforce program. Yes, but you may be able to use your facilities, your instructors. You may be able to leverage and get synergistic programs from that. So you kind of put it next to your environmental workforce program. You may even use your graduates or your participants in those grants. So we like to encourage that. Any questions or comments from Amelia? Well, we certainly would encourage everyone to tune into their webinar, which we'll put in the notes also. That's going to be next Wednesday. And they're going to be talking about the environmental justice. I think if there's anyone that one of the strongest organizations in working with inner city and environmental justice, it's the Groundworks people. So we hold them in high regard, Amelia.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And our next PLC will be in 2 weeks, same time, same place. And we're going to be doing coal fields then. So we'll send out reminders and put everyone on the list. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Hello? Hello? Oh.